SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Ed DeRose is going to join us. I don't think we're going to get to James today. He's tied up with something, and Ed's got to go on television here in about 15 minutes to kick off the race day at Churchill. So Ed DeRose is going to join us, and Ed can certainly take a couple of bows. He helped people, anybody that were keyed in on his approach and his interest in Gunnevera. I mean, if you used him properly, and this really fits into the whole theme that we've been reiterating all week, that you don't have to have the winner. You can key a price and succeed, and I hope that that's the case. Ed DeRosa, good morning.
Yeah, I felt pretty good. A lot of times we lament good opinions and bad wagering, and thought I made the best of what I could with Gunnevera. If he had won, we'd really be enjoying ourselves. But that type of horse, if he runs well, you want to be able to cash. So feel fortunate there. And Sister Charlie was another horse I was bullish on that was
That's
able
right.
to make a little.
That's right.
Was able to make a little hay. Those were definitely the highlights. Obviously going against newspaper record was not a highlight. But on the other hand, I look back and it was maybe foolish to think she could get beat. She looked like a 1-10 shot and was by far one of the more breathtaking performances I've ever seen, let alone this weekend. But on the other hand, the pick four paid $91. So, at the end of the day, I was looking to take some swings at Breeders' Cup, and I whiffed on that one. But it by no means cost me a score the way I play. So while I was wrong, I still feel okay with, the approach I took. And it's important to take those lessons, win or lose, week to week when you're playing the races, day to day, really. But she was awesome and easily one of the stars we're already looking forward to in 2019.
Give us some blow by blow as the weekend went through. What else stuck with you and what else might have gone right, and just your whole experience for the weekend. I barely saw you, I think, once the race day got going.
Yeah, Saturday was went out to the set for the Twin Spire Sprint, and Roy H was awesome. Just speaking of the 2-year-olds, because we're always thinking Derby around these parts. Game Winner's interesting and undefeated, and certainly can't imagine he won't be a unanimous 2-year-old male champion or close to it. But just seems like in general, people are gravitating toward maybe not being as wowed by him and the group so far, and we've talked a little about this as the stakes have gone on in the fall. So it seems like the type of group that may be ripe for a new name as we get into the winter months, and improbable winning the Street Sense on the Stars of Tomorrow, the Future Stars Friday undercard, had that look and maybe the next big thing of this generation. And I think we'll hear from some other names as well. So that kind of stuck with me on the 2-year-old side. With newspaper record grabbing so many headlines that day. And then with the Saturday races, I was in on Catalina Cruiser, love the sire, Go Sapper, and he didn't get it done. But, we talked about this, and I actually asked you point blank, City of Light impressed me so much when he beat Accelerate at Oaklawn. And it's hard as a handicapper to weigh all those different opinions, and unfortunately went in the wrong direction in the dirt mile, because that would have been a good sort of, not a big price by any means. He didn't blow any tickets up, but that would have been a good maybe area to lean against a favorite with a horse I had a lot of respect for. And hopefully we'll hear more from City of Light. I do think he's phenomenal, and trainer's a great story too. As Dwayne Lucas now is a sire of sires, so to speak. So that I thought was a great storyline. And of course, I won't add to it yet too much, but certainly good to see Accelerate get that win for Sadler, and and add a little bit of jolt to the horse of the year conversation, which really isn't much one for me. I'm a big Triple Crown believer, so not much of a debate for me, but it's good to see people talking about it. And Monomoy Girl and Enable add to, you know, the superstar discussion that we saw on Saturday. So overall, a satisfying cup as a fan for sure.
Absolutely. Well, we look forward to filling out the year, and there will be some horses running back, and certainly the rest of the Churchill meet and the start today of Del Mar, and what's going to happen also in New York, and you know, Florida certainly is, haven't even mentioned, you got a nice Sunshine Millions preview weekend this weekend, as well as kind of a Florida Cup group of juvenile races. There's no shortage of good racing. Thanksgiving always a big period, and Cigar Mile, Holiday Fest, as they call it in New York, and then the grade ones at Los Al, and we've got the grade ones at Del Mar to look forward to, the old Hollywood Derby, and the Matriarch, lots of good racing, and that includes this weekend. Ed, got a couple of minutes, some thoughts, anything that captures your interest this weekend?
Well, I've been on the desk here at Churchill with Joe, the day-to-day handicapping. So Saturday is, I haven't even gotten to it yet, but I did want to point out today's Churchill card, since I've looked at it so intimately. There's a real salty two-year-old filly allowance race. It's race nine. So for those thinking Oaks and maybe some names we'll see at Gulfstream and Fairgrounds this winter, this is definitely worth looking at. And it's led by Carrizo from the barn of Steve Asmussen, going up against Istvan Consul from the barn of Larry Jones. And Istvan Consul is a filly I have in my Oaks top 10 off her maiden win at Keeneland. She looked phenomenal, and Carrizo looked great closing out the Churchill card in September. So it's an allowance, but, you know, people lament the lack of allowances for two-year-olds. A lot of times they go right to stakes, but we have some veteran horsemen taking the allowance route with a couple two-year-olds who look really strong. And as much as I love this Van Council's maiden win, Carrizo just maybe looks the part of looks the better option at equal prices here today at Churchill.
Nice. What else?
And one thing I wanted to talk about just in general on Twin Spires, I don't know if you saw, Steve, some chatter, but we did launch our BetShare. It's not a promotion, BetShare option. And this is open to anyone. So instead of relying on me for players' pools, which isn't always had the best results, now you can basically be the captain of your own pool by using BetShare. You can allot shares. And when people click on your link, they can buy into your bet. So whether it's a trifecta play, a pick four, a big pick six, you just send the link on social media or to friends. Maybe you say, hey, let's split this bet. No one else has to know about it, but they can just buy in directly from Twin Spires. So you don't have to worry about changing cash or using Venmo or anything like that. Or maybe you're looking for investors and you turn to social media. But we really think this is the next logical step from players pools, which has been popular. But plenty of other people have good opinions and know how to structure bets, and now they can do it, and we think it's really going to be a revolutionary tool for horse players.
Well, this is interesting, and it's twinspires.com/bet-share, and it'll explain, and I'm just looking at it, and it's going to take a little bit of explaining, no? And a little bit of trial and error?
Yeah, I definitely think, I mean, for me, it's intuitive, only because I, you know, help, you know, beta.
That's right.
And things like that. So yes. Now the good thing is there's no, like, it's not like you're in there and then all of a sudden, oh crud, I made this bet. There are definitely flags along the way, to help you learn. And, I will say, you know, this first release, the biggest deficiency for me is you can't batch wagers. So it definitely sort of leans toward a caveman approach in terms of sharing some of the bigger tickets, because, you know, if you go the three or four ticket route, each one is its own, gets its own link. So in that regard, you know, people have to share and buy into three or four different bets or however many you make. So for now, I've definitely been sort of using it on plays where I'm comfortable with just one ticket, because I don't want people to be in, you know, one ticket and not the other, and that presents its own set of problems when you share publicly. But so I did want to put that out there. Hopefully in the next release we'll be able to batch it, so you're basically buying into a pool of wagers, if that's how you think a bet should be tackled. But, you know, we tried it on Breeders' Cup. Scott Shapiro sent a few tickets out. I did one yesterday for the Hawthorne Pick 5. And that's another benefit of this. You know, you're not relying on big carryovers to try to attract a big pool of money. If you want to go after the Mahoning carryover tomorrow, you can, you know, put a $48 ticket and get a few people to toss in $6 or $8. So should be a lot of fun, especially to watch on social media some of the bigger names get involved. And, you know, Derby Super comes to mind. Sky's the limit. We're excited.
And I'm looking at some of the rules and, you know, some of the questions that might pop into people's heads. All the FAQs are right there, including the tax reporting, be broken out by percentage if you're lucky enough to hit over the 300-1, etc. But everything you might want to know is right there, and look at the BetShare tab, and it explains everything, the definitions, you know, what each element is, and you know, how to participate, and how it all works. It's a very interesting concept, and this is a clever gambit, Ed. I applaud you guys for making this happen.
Well, and, you know, we've seen some other ADWs and TV stations, you know, sharing bets and ideas for structure, certainly nothing new. But, you know, the actionable next step was maybe something not as easy or apparent, especially at the bigger level. And now with this ability, you can you share the ticket and, as I said, get people to buy in. Or if you just want the whole ticket to yourself and you just want to brag about it, that's an option, too. You could just share it and say, hey, look at what I bet. So yeah, it's a, you know, hopefully a way to make the game more social. We all love hanging out at the races together. Can't do it every day, but this is a way to bring it to more people, hopefully. And as I said, we're excited, and I've used it a few times already, and it's been a lot of fun.
Very cool. And check it out, the BetShare. And there's also a very nice Saturday promotion going on, the $5,000 weekend triple. And remember, you got to opt in on all these, you know, on all the promotions on TwinSpires. Ed, I appreciate it. Have a great weekend. I hope, I know you had the rain and off the turf today, but ideally, we'll be all right the rest of the weekend.
Well, it is cool and just in time, because the church up the street from where I live has a chili cook-off tomorrow night, so
ooh,
perfect weather for that.
I love it. Ed DeRose, everybody, EJXD2, and watch him right now on the Churchill feed, about to kick off, and we'll catch up with Scully next weekend and get some of his postmortems to Breeders' Cup as well. Ed DeRose, thanks a lot.
Real quick, Steve.
Yeah.
That stew you posted on Facebook looked fabulous, and we're definitely making it at home sometime soon.
You won't believe how easy it is. After trying dozens of stew recipes, that one has become just a go-to. You could decide to have it at 3 o'clock, and it'll be terrific by 6.
Love it. All right. Well, definitely keep you posted. Keep sharing that stuff.
I love it. It's that time of year for me, building up to Thanksgiving.
You know it.
My favorite. All right. Ed DeRose, folks, let's take a break. Probably our last of the morning. Hammer will join us. And I don't know. I'm guessing he's on his way to Del Mar, maybe. Or he might be wrapping up some of the fall, autumn meat. Portion. The autumn meets ended up very strong, and the numbers were up, which was heartening, because they're needing signs of health and positive indices at Santa Anita and in California overall, and they had a good meet. We'll talk to Hammer about it and about Del Mar opening day and opening weekend as well, and also find out more about the fires. I am a little behind on this Woolsey fire, but it like all the wildfires in California, it just looks devastating and unbelievable. And of course, the horror as well, and just the shootings—they just don't end. It's just incredibly sad. Back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
California.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. 20-plus to close out the weekend preview and this post-Breeders' Cup week. And, of course, with Breeders' Cup and Sunday came the end of the autumn season at Santa Anita. Gives Hammer a freshening between now and December 26th. Rick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you this crazy day here in Southern California? Yeah, we've had a rough go the last 36 hours.
Yeah, very much. And I'm seeing quite a few people that are connected to the industry, stakeholders around the sport that are being evacuated. It's been a tough situation.
Coincidentally, those fires are near where the shooting took place, so it's right. All centered around the same general area. The one fire that's in the middle, so to speak, is near where the shooting took place, and then the other one, the Woolsey fire, they're calling it, is closer this way. And we had a number of friends that evacuated and a couple of racetrackers, as you mentioned, involved that we were in contact with last night that got out. And it was pretty wild. I sent you a picture from our backyard up in the hills. The wind's blowing away from us, but just flared up. And, I mean, I'm talking, we get these winds, the Santa Ana's, where they blow, you know, okay, you know, it's windy, where you would just say it's windy. And then we get days like yesterday and this morning where it's just unbelievable. The fact where people are slowing down on the freeway to 30, 35 miles an hour only because it's so windy to drive. And it was that way all night. I feel like I was up all night just kind of keeping an eye on things. But that's what it was. And I can't imagine fighting a fire on a normal, in a, just a house in a neighborhood, let alone in these mountains and hills. Some of these hills is where I go hiking, and I know the terrain there is crazy, and with the winds and stuff. So they're saying now that some of these fires may burn all the way to the beach, which is a good, you know, 8 miles of marsh and canyon lands and things like that. So you know, every place has its thing, and of course, you know, for us, it's wildfires, and just when you think you might make it through, you don't. But so a lot of, you know, a lot of thinking about people and friends and situations, especially with that, with the shooting and close at hand. You know, when it's in your neighborhood, when it's not our neighborhood, it's 20 some miles away, but, you know, you drive through there every once in a while. But this is one of those one generational things. Not only did you know people that went there, I mean, you know, my daughter was at that place twice in the last year. Because they have this college night thing where you can go, and if you're 18, you can go. And I remember coming home with, I go, what's that on your hand? Oh, that's so I don't drink. And, you know, Amy, my Atkinson, who works for me here, her daughter was in that place, you know, it's within the last year as well. You know, it's pretty, it just makes, it's nothing you can do, but it was kind of, and I didn't realize until Gina said, oh, yeah, that's the Lindsay's been there. And, you know, I remember her, Gina, going down and checking the place out. Of course, you know, your daughter's going to go to some nightclub. And it's, you know, it's at a great spot. Nice area, clean, you know, there's nothing you can do. And so that was kind of wild, you know, kind of weighs on you. But just feel, you know, thoughts go out to all the people, you know, that were involved in that. There's nothing else you can do. And, you know, like I told Lindsay yesterday, she's, you know, I said, you have nothing, Lindsay, just carry on, you know, just live your life. You can't worry about it. You just have to be more aware of situations than you're in. And if you're ever uncomfortable in a place, they said, just turn around and leave. You know, don't mind, you know, any reason. Yeah. If something doesn't feel right, some guy bugging you, anything going on, just turn around and leave. But don't, you know, don't stop living. But it's very sobering, very sobering. So anyway, that's enough of that. But kind of, I feel better kind of talking about it a little bit, getting it off my chest. But, you know, a lot of phone calls from people checking in. So it's good to hear. But turning to the racing, yes, we finished up last weekend. And it's amazing how you go full speed. And then when we end, it seemed like it was a month ago we stopped. You know, the Breeders' Cup was in there. But, yeah, we ended up on a good three-day run. We had that big rainbow deal where we bet $6-7 million into it, and you know, I think that's what's going to be looking at us for the next meet. We'll probably carry that rainbow on, and then you know, have 5 or 6 designated days where we pay it out. But that worked out well, and then obviously our horses, California horses, fared very well in the Breeders' Cup, and congratulate all of them, all the local guys. I heard you talking to John Sadler the other day, and good guy, as you can tell. As anybody that's never met him, if they listen to the interview, just a feel good. You know, you're very happy to see him, you know, get off the duck in the Breeders' Cup after all these years, and for the owners, Costa and Pete Aronis, that you know, just regular guys that you'd be sitting next to in a movie theater or something. I mean, couldn't be nicer. Got to decide to get in the game 10, 12 years ago, hooked up with John, and they've had a ton of success. And if he was going to get the win, I'm glad it was for them. There's, you know, there's nobody here that we're on this circuit that wasn't rooting for them. to win. So that was pretty good. You know, you had, of course, you had Bob Baffer winning the two-year-old race, but on bump, what's news there with Game Winner, who you know, just put it all together. You know, quite a feat by Peter Miller and his ownership group there to win two Breeders' Cup with two horses back to back, the same races. I think that's quite a feat. And one of the main owners of Rockingham, Gary Hartunian, happened to be. He stayed here. He had something going on, so he couldn't make the trip. And as I went down to congratulate him, he said, "Now, whatever you do, don't let Peter enter these horses. We're going to run them one time next year in the Breeders' Cup. Don't let him enter them again the rest of the year. We're just going to run them once. three in a row. He's a great guy, great owner, and he was here going nuts, and so we were happy for them. And, of course, Michael McCarthy, the City of Light, you know, what can you say about that? You know, going to spread his wings the last few years after working for Todd Pletcher for a number of years, came home and has a rather small barn now, kind of 30-ish horses. And after that, you know, not just winning a race, but having involved in a few other races as well, kind of puts you on the map. So I got a feeling he'll be knocking on the door here in the next couple of days, asking for a few more stalls, which is great. So congratulations to all those people. I mean, and when you think about it, so we won, the California horses won five races, and the race we didn't win, you know, Marley's Freedom was odds on, Bellafina was the favorite, and Abel Tasman was the favorite. So you can, you know, it could have been a little bit more of a West Coast massacre than it was, but we had a good run, and it was, you know, wasn't that exciting of a Breeders' Cup to me? I know I wasn't there, but even on, you know, a lot of things happened that looked like they were supposed to happen. Maybe that's what it was. There wasn't a plethora of, you know, $80 horses and, you know, $10,000 pick threes and things like that. But, you know, it comes along every once in a while. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching Enable get her victory. And then, you know, very excited for Accelerate. One of the few people who actually stuck by him. And, you know, it came down to race day, had a few things going to him, and he just looked at the field, and there was no way that horse could get beat. I mean, it wasn't, you know, not that he's some actual superstar, but I'm glad he showed it and, you know, still made our races stand up out here during the rest of the year. So that's what's been going on out in Southern California.
No, and basically a survey of what transpired. Absolutely, I was very pleased that the Rainbow chalked out, and that everybody that put into it could have hit it. The $600 payday that never seems to happen at Gulfstream. So that was very good, frankly.
Yeah, you know, as you know, we grew up with the $2 pick six out here, and everybody did. So it was a, quote, experimental period to try it out. And what was hard to realize, because I don't think we did a good job of posting what some of the payoffs were on a daily basis, and it took a while for some of our, you know, bigger gamblers or regulars to realize that, you know, if you hit it, I mean, we had days that I think it paid $60,000 at the end of the day, and $30,000. There were a handful of, you know, $5,000-$7,000 day payouts when you did hit the six, even if you weren't the only one. So it wasn't. Everyone thinks carryover, just wait till the last day. But I was amazed myself at some of the intermediary prices that were paid when it was hit. I mean, because if you have $200,000-$300,000 in the pool after you take the takeout out, and if 10 people have it, you know, you do the math, it's paying pretty good. So it's here to stay. So I think once they catch on to it, it'll be fine. And like I said, we'll have a few designated days throughout the year that will pay it out. And you know, it like it or not, it's here to stay, and I think, in the general, more people are going to go home with some money than maybe the other way. But that's the way that is.
I should also...
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I wanted to also slip in, I talked to Baffert about Cruel Intention, but I didn't get a chance to get to the Twilight Derby and Goldacova results. River Boyne, who's starting to rack up these wins, wins the Twilight Derby for Mullins and Flavian Pratt on Sunday, and Pratt also won the Goldacova as well with the Veselica for Jerry Hollendorfer. And then I think, did she go through the ring? Didn't she? Wasn't she supposed to sell this week?
I don't know if she did or if he pulled her out. She was on the lineup. I did see that the day before, but they may have pulled her out. I'm not sure, but yeah, Flavian was here, and I as it was closing day and everybody left town, I got the call to give the trophy away for the Twilight Derby, and Flavian was there. I said, "Are you glad to be home?" And he said, a big smile on his face. He said, "Yeah, absolutely." winning both stakes coming back here. But, you know, you've talked earlier in the week, which is what's going to be the talk for the next 6 weeks or so, about, you know, the Horse of the Year deal with Justify and Accelerate, and rightfully so, and I'm glad it's being talked about. I'm glad it's being thought about because I think it needs to be thought about. And I think in some fashion it's more than just the horses. I think it's the 3-year-old that retires in June versus the 5-year-old that has run for 3 years and ran throughout the year. And I think, as I've talked, obviously talked to numerous people, you know, see where they fall on the side of the situation. But I think it's, you know, it might even be a thing like, hey, you know what, we'd rather see a horse run longer and that rather than retire, even if you won the Triple Crown. In other words, a vote for Justify would say, yeah, you know, we don't really care if you retire, that's fine, see you later. But I just heard a lot more talk about, appreciating horses that, he's 5 years old. And how many of these other three-year-olds, if they didn't retire, would be, much better than they were at three? And we never know, but do you reward the guy that said, you know what, I'm going to keep my horse to training and I'm going to try and make him better, which John did. So it's going to be an interesting vote. I have not decided myself, but I do like horses that stick around. I do like horses that race throughout the year. So that's going to be, it's a lot of food for thought and a lot of conversation, just around the office here about that. So. I know there's a lot of opinions people have that they're keeping to themselves, which is fine. But I think the retire early situation is going to play into it.
Well, it's a tough discussion, and I've made the point over the years that you do not begrudge anybody, no matter how successful they are, when they have to take money off the table at the time and when the occasions arise. And to some degree, Justify was going to be a victim of his own breeding, because if Scat Daddy hadn't died when he did, there wouldn't have been the need or the desire or the expedient jump to move him to the shed. I mean, the fact that Scat Daddy left the stage, as a star and on the rise, that makes Justify that much more valuable and invaluable. Basically, it's a weird dynamic, and it's also going to play into Mendelsohn and so forth. Charlotte Weber said to me, we talked about this several years ago when she retired to Honor and Serve, and I think Brilliant Speed maybe that same year. And she said, I'd love to keep racing them, but I also can't lose $5-6 million a year every year. And Justify being involved. You have to take the money off the table. Seth Klarman, I mean, these are people that you think, oh, well, they could afford it. Easy. They have to take this money when the occasion arises. The making stallions is the only way to justify expenditure.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. No, no, I get it. I'm just saying that's come out in a lot more people through just casual discussion than I thought would come out than in a normal year, maybe. No, I get it. You got to do what you got to do. You're in that business. You got to, you know, not everything's a home run. You got to. Yep. You know, like you said, you take some off the table when you can. No, I get that part. I was just almost summarizing what some of the discussion I've heard around the racetrack.
No, I hear you.
That hasn't come up as strongly before. So that's I don't know. I think it's healthy. It's healthy discussion to talk about because. I don't think you can be wrong in this situation. That's for sure.
Well, and I don't think it should be held against Justify.
I mean, he did amazing stuff. Please, I mean, you know, in that you know, did stuff that has never been done before with you know, when he started in the quickness of his 112-day run. And whatever, no, you please, you can't take that away. Is right, so
it's tough.
What else we got? Did you happen to see that football game last night? By the way,
oh no, I forgot. I was caught up in the. I know it's still early, but I'm so excited that I got a hockey team to root for. The Sabres are terrific, and the unbelievable game with the Habs last night. I was sort of falling asleep in the third period because I just was late, and I've been trying to catch up from last week. But no, I forgot about the football game.
Oh, I said that in jest as the Steelers crushed, which is finally good to see. I think it was like 52 to 10 or something. So that was good. Good viewing.
Good.
So did they beat the Canadians? Because anybody that beats the Canadians, I'm four.
They beat them in overtime. Yeah,
it
was a crazy game. Six first period goals. It was 3-3 after one, and then the Habs forged ahead later, and the Sabres tied it up. It was just a great. It was for as early in the year as it is. It was like playoff hockey. I mean, just really fun.
I think that's the longest I've heard somebody talk about the Buffalo Sabres since the French Connection.
Well, that's when I signed on. I started with them at that time, and Schoenfeld and Korab and Danny Gare,
right.
I forget
who the goalie was back then, but I liked him. I was a little mini Saber fan back then.
That a boy. Good job.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We go hockey. Hockey is you know, there's nothing better than live hockey. I will say that as a sport. Nothing better than NFL playoff hockey live. That is unquestionable.
Did you ever get to the igloo?
Never got to the igloo in Quebec. I would have liked
in Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pittsburgh. What do they call the place in Quebec? And they call it the igloo? No.
The Colisée was in the Colisée was in,
right.
in Quebec City, and the Forum, the Montreal Forum, was about as great a place to see a game as. New building is a barn, but a big, gigantic one of these stupid arenas. But the Forum, and the hot dogs at were just unbelievable in the Forum. Incredible
hot dog? Really?
Oh my God! There's two different kinds. There's a steamy and a toasty, and a toasty. You used to get the toasties at the Forum. The hot dog's cooked, but then it's put into a bun, and then the bun is put on a grill press, and so it's like flattened. Oh, it's unbelievable!
That sounds good. What's the other one? Like a dirty water dog? I'll take the toasty.
You take a toasty or a steamy, and
I'll take the toasty.
The steamy, though, they put coleslaw on the steamy, which is pretty good.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you. You're going way back there talking about those places, that's for sure.
Well, when they closed the Forum, the grills, the hot dog grills that they had in the building, they say one of the reasons the hot dogs were so good was because the grills had been there for 40 years, 50 years. And so the grills were really seasoned. You know, if you have a good seasoned grill that has had, you know, that a tabletop grill. And so people bought the grills. You know, there was an auction, and you could... you could buy, take one home, but they were at a premium.
You know what? Maybe hopefully Gina's listening, because every time I go to barbecue, which is often, she says, you got to clean the grill. I go, I'm not cleaning the grill. That's part of the deal. But that season up, that's part of the flavor. I don't want it on a plate.
Well, that's exactly. Well, that's right? Why when you go to diners, when you go to a diner and the guy's there, you know, like it, Marty and I talked about Waffle House. Those grills get seasoned. They get the fat, you know, kind of.
Oh,
adheres in.
Absolutely.
That's what gives it the special, unique taste. I didn't know we would close out the week talking about steamies and toasties.
Well, you never know, right? That's the beauty of it.
Delmar opening today. You got any Delmar insights quickly before we wrap?
You know what? To tell you the truth, I kind of shut down. We this weekend they run a couple stakes and let it ride for 3-year-olds going a mile on the turf, and then they come back with a cowbred deal on Sunday, which is a much better event. Just Graze Me comes back. We always thought she was going to be a star. She's in there. One Fast Broad, love a Honey Badger for Peter Miller. Now. A little different down there. Then the summertime, just basically because of the weather, you want to check it out. They'll only have a few hundred horses stabled there, so it's a different atmosphere down there. Everyone stays up here because of the short meet, and no need to travel back and forth. Bring the whole barn down there for only a month of action. So, if you're in the area, stop by. It's kind of cool. Cool weather-wise, but cool to be there because it's not as crowded, not as stuffy, and, you know, it's kind of a neat place to be, as we all found out last year for the Breeders' Cup this time of year. So, but the track will change a little bit. It won't be as quick because the weather will be a little, it's weird how that track reacts to weather more than anywhere. The cooler it is, it seems to speed up, or speed seems to be a little bit more favorable when the weather's cooler. So keep your eye on that the first couple days, and go along. You'll see a lot of turf racing down there because they only got a month. They'll run it to death. But I'm happy they're there for a little bit and gives us a chance to work on our turf course, which is brown right now. It always scares me when I look up 2 days after the meet. They'd make it brown, and then they'll start overseeding with some rye here in the next day or two, some cool weather grass, and then it'll be all thickened up, and it'll be ready to roll in about 6-7 weeks when we get back. So
nice.
Little mental break, but still, still at the desk here pounding it out.
Hammer, I hope everything is okay out there, and we will dig into Del Mar next week.
That sounds great. We'll be ready for that, and enjoy the start of November.
Absolutely. We're into it. Hell, we're a third of the way through. It's unbelievable. It is scary. Exactly. Exactly. Well, I hope everybody had a great week doing the recapping of Breeders' Cup, and I appreciate Hammer's contribution here, and Ed DeRosa, and Steve Crist earlier today, Nick Tamaro, Jim Dunleavy, and Marty McGee. Lots of good racing around the country today and through the weekend. HRN coverage this afternoon, and then down the stretch and Equine Forum tomorrow. Back with you on Monday. Both Gus and I have got Stronach Pick 5 plays that we'll put up on the website shortly. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you Monday.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.